All right, go ahead and open up to the 116th Psalm, the 116th Psalm, and I, a few months ago, preached out of this Psalm, but kind of want to focus on really the second half of it as a little different emphasis, but here on a New Year's, January the 1st. I will, next week, so... We finished our last series in Ephesians, whenever it was, late November, early December. And so I've kind of focused on some Christmas themes over the last couple of weeks. This year has very much a New Year's encouragement. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to start the book of Daniel. And it'll be a little different. We did Ephesians, of course, Daniel, Old Testament, but also prophecy. Here's what we're going to do. So this is kind of how we're going to set this up. On Wednesday nights, I'm going to be preaching through the book of Daniel on the stories in Daniel, like the Bible stories in Daniel. But if you want the prophecy, you got to come to Sunday school. Now we'll see how that goes. But and vice versa, if you want to hear about stories, come on Wednesday night. You see how that works. You see how that works together. But so just pray for that. I'm gonna give myself a disclaimer here. I don't pretend to be any prophetic expert, but we can study the Bible together, and we can take a look and at least understand that God has a plan that even exceeds our current time in which we live. And we can see how all of that comes together and works together. So be in prayer for that. I know a lot of prophecy is one of those things I know people get really, really interested in. But I try to be careful with it, because sometimes the reason people get really, really interested in it is because of the things the Bible doesn't say. And then we try to fill in the gaps of things in our mind that, oh, could this be this? Could this person be this? And we try to, well, you know, that can be fun in the right context, maybe, in a, you know, to think about, to talk about. But we do want to be careful to stay true to what God says and not put things in his mouth and not impose things on him. But there are a lot of things that we can learn and glean. So just pray as we take a look and go in that direction, Lord willing, beginning next week. So we are in Psalm 116. I am going to, let's go down to verse 8, and then we're going to read a couple. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to read the last half. We'll go ahead and read the whole end of the psalm from that point. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Let me just say, first part of this kind of builds that testimony that he just gave there. But if you just take verse 8 there, everybody in here that's been saved can really identify with that testimony. Our soul's been delivered from death. It's not talking about more than just the body dying. We've been delivered from death. We will, unless the Lord comes back and gets us out of here, you know, we all have a physical appointment with death, but we know that that is just the beginning. That's the end of our mortality, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the beginning of our life. Why? Because we've been delivered from it. He says, "Mine eyes from tears." You know, everybody in here can look at times where God has delivered us from the heaviness of soul. And that's general, but I guarantee you, everybody in here can go back, probably even in last year, and go, God delivered me from that heaviness, that burden of soul. And then he says, "And my feet from falling." And how all of us, if we are humble enough to admit it, will say God has multiple times delivered our feet from falling. Have you ever thought back about your life since you got saved, and you think, You maybe think about a decision you faced, or maybe you are trending in the wrong direction in a lot of areas. Maybe you had gotten a little cold on the Lord, and you look back now and go, "Man, if God had not just directed me there or whatever. I don't know. My life would look totally different right now. I can look back to some specific, I'm talking even since I was saved, I can look back at some things and go, boy, that was close to being a bad deal. I can think, even as a Christian teenager, I could go all the way back to teen years and think, man, that situation there, I wasn't very wise in, and it really could have been bad, but God delivered me. He kept my feet from falling in that way. So just reading that and touching on that, when we preached out of here, I got into that more, but those things there, we can all identify it with. Now, let's look at verse 9. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant, I am thy servant. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows. And the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. It's New Year's. Today, I mean, is January the 1st. It is a new year. My grandfather was born on New Year's Day. He's in heaven now. He would have been 102 or so right now, I think, today. But it's New Year's. And what does everybody associate with, whether you do it or not, what does everybody associate with New Year's? Resolutions, right? A new beginning. I'm gonna change things. I saw something last day or two. Somebody said they're gonna start a gym that opens on January 1st, charges people $50, one-time fee of $50 to join, and closes on February the 11th. That way, on February the 12th, everybody can say, "Well, I joined the gym, but my gym closed," and they have an excuse for the rest of the year. Probably would make money, but everybody makes these. All of these predictions, and it's kind of funny when you see things in December, you know, sometimes you'll see somebody that goes, you know, all right, it's, you know, December 15th. I now have 2 weeks to learn Spanish, learn how to play the banjo and lose 50 pounds. You know, you'll have all sorts of things where people make resolutions at the beginning of the year and then they kind of fall short. What's the problem? What's the problem with a resolution that falls short? Well, at some point, we could say it's a lack of willpower. They don't want to do it, and so it's not important enough to them. Well, did you notice what I read? I in a mild way, emphasized it each time. But here the psalmist is making some resolutions. Did you notice over and over again what he said? And look at verse number 9. He said, I will. And verse number 13, he says, I will. In verse number 14, I will. In verse number 17, I will. Verse number 18, I will. He goes, he's making some resolutions, but these are different than just things that benefit, you know, his person. Verse number 8, which we read, gives us a clue into where these I wills are coming from. They're not coming out of him looking in a mirror and going, ugh, I want to look different in 12 months. They're not coming out of him looking at his savings account and going, ah, I want to save more because I need it for retirement. He wasn't coming out of that. It was coming out of the principle of verse number 8. Because of what God has done for me, this is what I am going to do. And you know, any resolution that we make, even if it is something that benefits us, you know, it should be somehow anchored in what the Lord has done for us. You know, stewardship and taking care of what God's given us, that's a good thing to take care of. But here he lists several things, and they have to do with his dedication to the Lord and his resolution, if you will, to serve the Lord because what God has done for them. So I want to take a look at the resolutions of the psalmist this morning, just as a New Year's Day resolution. Thinking about resolution, I want to take a look at what the psalmist here had to say. First of all, he said, "I will walk before the Lord." Look at verse number 9. He says, "I will walk before the Lord in the what?" What's that last phrase? Land of the living. You know, it's too late to walk before the Lord in the land of the dying or the dead. In other words, when even a saint, when they get to heaven, they all walk before the Lord. You know, we'll all walk before. We think about it now in terms now. When we get to heaven, we're all going to be right with God. But what he said is, now in the land of the living, I will walk before the Lord. It actually kind of reminds me a lot of what we just studied, some of the things we studied in the book of Ephesians, where remember starting in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5, it talked about the walk of the believer. He said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk circumspectly. And of course, all that comes to pass as we are filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Galatians talks about this. He says, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what he's saying here is expressing really in an Old Testament maybe way, he is expressing the same concept. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. His walk here on earth was going to be under the watch care of his heavenly Father. In other words, what he did with his steps, what he did with his life, he was determined that it was going to be something that was approved unto God. That's what Paul told Timothy about his study. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Well, the psalmist here says, I will. I'm resolving. This is a resolution. I'm going to walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. You know, if we would make that resolution today and do so for the next 365 days, there really isn't any reason to make any other resolutions. Because they'll all be where they should be as we walk with the Lord. As we do what we have to do. You know, so he made that commitment. He said, I'm not gonna walk after the world, which 1 John talks about that. I'm not gonna walk after the world. I'm gonna walk before the Lord. I'm going to let him examine my works. The Psalms talk about what the Lord knows about us a lot. Thou hast searched me and known me. He talks about how he knows even our thoughts. Right. So we ought to walk consciously in his presence, knowing he knows already what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to say. He knows what we are going to do. So why don't we determine in 2023 to walk before him? Every decision I make is going to be something that is approved unto God. Like day to day. You know, we want to give the big picture decisions to him a lot of times, and then we take over the minor ones without even considering him. I had a teacher in college, wasn't here, throw that disclaimer on this before I say it, but he was talking about wives submitting to your husband. He was talking about that, and he said, yeah, me and my wife had an agreement. He said, we agreed. I'll make all the big decisions and she makes all the little decisions. And he said, and it was, I don't know, 30 years. He said, there's never been one big decision. He said, there's never been one is what he said. And that, you know, can be a lot of times how our mentality is towards the Lord. I'll take care of the day to day stuff, Lord. You know, I'll come to you when I really need something big. But if we're not careful, we'll suddenly realize, you know, there haven't really even been any big decisions in a while. Reality is we've just taken them all on ourselves. And so remember, our steps, our walk, we emphasize this in Ephesians. And think about this. Godless steps produce a godless walk. And I know that sounds, you think, man, you're talking to people that were in Sunday school. on New Year's Day, a holiday. And many were here in Sunday school on Christmas Day. What are you talking? No, that the point is, if we will live with that conviction, that will keep us far away from living a godless life, where our godless steps lead to a godless walk. And so he said here, I will walk before the Lord. Our decisions, our thought processes, how we think about things should all be subject to his approval. That's a good resolution for us to make. The second one we see is in verse number 13. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I looked this up. That's an interesting phrasing here. But one writer that I like to look at talking about this, he pointed out a possible ceremonial application of it, where they would all, you know, drink from a cup, you know, and it was part of a feast to the Lord. He said, but he said in his opinion, he didn't really think that's what it was. He said there's no real connection to that. He said he looks at it as him determining to live daily in the mercy of the Lord. Like, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to live like you're saved. That happens as we walk with the Lord. But that also happens as we trust His mercy and His grace as we live day to day. And He says, I will call upon the Lord. One echo that was heard as he was pinning those thoughts was 1 John 1:9. If we can confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One thing that we can be guaranteed of, so we go back to number one, walk before the Lord. You know, one thing just we know in our flesh, this isn't an excuse, but what we know is there will be a day along the lines where we don't walk before the Lord like we should. And here's what happens. Satan loves those days. And he doesn't love them just because of the damage that one day does. That's almost irrelevant. And how he works, and how he knows we work. He loves them because then he can use something to show us how we don't measure up, and how we fall short, and how we are constantly, we constantly miss the mark. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who have gotten away from the Lord, who it would not be a far cry for them to be right where you're at right now, but They're 1,000 miles away, as it were. And it's because of this. They got discouraged because they realized they weren't good enough. And they started trying to do it in the power of their flesh instead of relying on the mercy and the grace of the Lord. Everything that saved us is what will also empower us to live this life for Him. It's not on us. You can't in the power of the flesh conquer the flesh. But in the power of our salvation, God can conquer the flesh. You know you're saved by grace? Absolutely. We would say glory, amen, saved by grace. But you also live by grace. And grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Titus chapter number 2 is as an example. Grace not only teaches us, it empowers us to live according to how God wants us to live as we yield to Him. And he said here, what he mentions here points to him yielding in every way. He says, I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to call out to Him. I'm going to rely on Him as I go forward. That's what He will do. How about we rely on Him in 2023? There's a pattern in the scriptures of how people grow, of how God grows people. Found in two places, very similar, Romans chapter 5 and James chapter number 1. And in Romans chapter number 5, he talks about we glory in tribulation, because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but as you go through that progression and you think about what's happening at each stage along the way, that hope that maketh not ashamed is that person who has relied on the Lord before, and they have learned that God worked in the past and He's also going to work again in the future. And that's a person who lives at peace day to day. You know, I'll put myself at the front of the line. We spend a lot of time whittling away the peace of today, worrying about the trouble of tomorrow that we don't even know about yet. And inevitably, 2023 is going to have some trouble, but we've got to learn to rely on the Lord. It's not on me. It's not me that got me through 2022. I mean, just think about that in retrospect. You know, I've been saved a long time. Just personal testimony. I've been saved a long time. Say, oh yeah, over your life, you know, God's worked. You can say that. That's easy to say. No, think about it this way. I would not have made it through 2022 if it wasn't for the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And no one else in here would either, if it weren't for the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And so let's determine 2023. We're going to rely on Him, His strength and His power in that same way. Let's move on. Verse number 14. He said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In verse number 18, we'll go ahead and skip there again because he says it again. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. He said, I'm going to keep my word before the Lord. I'm going to follow through on what God has given me to do. I'm not going to be easily, and what I've stated I will do, I'm not going to be easily shaken from that which I have declared that God has, that I've declared that I would do for God. You know, there's a problem a little bit in our world. It's manifesting itself, and there's wide age range in here, and so you younger ones, just listen to me. I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just telling you this is a bigger picture problem where the younger generation, however you want to define them, all the way up to the millennials and whatever we're calling the people behind the millennials, that they don't like to make a commitment to anything. They're afraid of commitment. Well, it's actually a good thing to be cautious about commitment. There's a judge in the Old Testament that made a very rash vow to the Lord, and it ended up costing him, and again, not going to get into details for today, but it ended up costing him in some way with his very daughter because of a rash vow that he made to the Lord. We should be thoughtful about the commitments we make, but we also should not be afraid to make godly commitments and then follow through on them. And we can go in reverse here. His grace and mercy is going to help us as we do that. But we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid to do so. You know, there's vows. Lots of folks in here, you're married. That's a vow you made before the Lord. Keep it this year. Take care of that this year. You know, those are important things. It's not about, what the state thinks as much. It's about what God thinks, you know, about it. We should take that seriously in 2023. Other things that we might make, we ought to determine with the Lord's help, we're going to keep it. We're going to follow through on it. If we said, you know what, I'm going to do it. You know, there might be ministry opportunities that present itself to different folks in here. Maybe you're teaching a Sunday school class, helping out on a bus route, or singing in the choir. I mean, there's a lot of different things. And a lot of times people don't go forward because they say, oh, I don't want to make a commitment. Well, the Lord made a pretty good commitment to us, didn't He? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I can tell you, there's never been a day where He's left me or forsaken me. That's a pretty strong commitment that He has made to us. Let's not be afraid to make godly commitment, things that we can give to Him, and with His help we can honor and follow through. Well, I don't know if I can commit to that. What we're saying is I don't want to tie myself to something. Well, it's good sometimes to tie ourselves to things that are pleasing to the Lord and to follow through on those things. and then be willing to follow through, and then over time see the fruit born out of the faithful following through of that which we have committed to the Lord. You know, being in church, being a part of what's going on, all those are good things to be willing to commit oneself to and to follow through on them. He said, I will pay my vows. And then the fourth one, we'll take a look here in verse number 17. He says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. That's there again. You see, that reference, we'll get to that again in a moment, that last part. But he said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He said, I will. He resolved to be thankful. Now, obviously, in the Old Testament, they had certain physical sacrifices that could be given that were used to express even thankfulness and sweet savor offerings and various things like that. That could be a part of that. But you and I are called upon to be thankful as well. What a great resolution. I'm going to be thankful in 2023. And I'm going to be thankful in the right order. I'm thankful to the Lord. And my thankfulness to God then guides my thankfulness everywhere else. We'll be thankful for our families the right way if we can be thankful to the Lord the right way. And we'll be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ if we can be thankful to the Lord in the right way. It starts there. It always starts there. He said, I will be thankful. I haven't done this, but I know this is probably a thing. You could probably Google top 10 lists, top 10 things that people resolve to do. Probably being thankful is not there, I'd imagine. But it's something that, I can point at this in the New Testament. You know that a lack of thankfulness is synonymous with godlessness. You can look at it. You can see it. Paul talked to Timothy about it. And there's other places that you can look at it. In Romans, it's there where a failure or a lack of appreciation, a lack of thankfulness is definitely associated with godlessness. Why? So we take God out of the picture. There's nothing to be thankful for. We're just random specks of dirt here. And what really do we owe anybody or anything? But when God's there, we're Christians. We serve the Lord. We look to Him. So we should be thankful. People should appreciate us as, or should recognize that quality about us that we are thankful people. Not in a prideful way, but just there should be a difference. Why? Because it's a godless world. So it's an unusual thing to see out in a godless world. But we can be thankful. He said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You can kind of link a lot of these together. Going back to, I will pay my vows, he said, to the Lord. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is offering a little something just to show an appreciation for what He has done for us. Maybe the sacrifice of thanksgiving this year will be to commit to something that to show Him that you're a little bit appreciative for what He has done for you. And then the last one, I mentioned this because it's kind of tagged on to the end of a couple of these. Look back at verse number 13. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. There's not like that and. There's an almost understood I will there before the call upon the name of the Lord. And in verse number 17, he says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Again, kind of an understood, I will call upon the name of the Lord. It's connected, of course, with the first part there of the verse. But just to highlight that by itself, how about we determine in 2023 we're going to call upon the name of the Lord a little bit. continuously. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Now we can get, there's a lot of things we get wrapped up in. I'm telling you, the longer I live, the more I appreciate. There were things that preachers thundered about and warned against in the 80s and 90s, especially early 90s, that you would have thought what they're talking about seems so far-fetched as far as, but we're living it now. We are living through it right now. And you go, wow, what's the solution to it? I don't know that there is a solution to it physically, like from what we can do, but there is a spiritual solution to it. And it comes from the Lord. It's Him. And maybe if we call on Him, maybe He will have a little bit of mercy. We're saved. We have experienced His mercy. But as a whole, you remember, think about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. What did it get down to? 10 righteous that were there? God would have spared them? And the indication that I get was they would have been given more time. Who knows if there were 10? Maybe in a couple of years there would have been 100 that were righteous. Maybe in a few more years there would have been 1,000 that were righteous. In other words, God's people could have had an impact there. Now, I know history enough to know that God has a plan on these things that will be fulfilled and will come to pass. But what I am impressed about now is the greater need for us to go to the Lord first and foremost. Look to Him for our strength. Call upon Him. Ask Him to work. Beg Him to work. Seek His leading in our life. Ask Him for the help and boldness. You go to the book of Acts. We're not going to go there now, but if you go to the book of Acts, one of the great early prayer meetings that the early church had was, Lord, grant unto these men boldness that they may preach. And you know, that Lord shook that place in a unique way. And boldness was not only granted to those men, the apostles, it was granted to the entire body of believers there, it seems, as they go out. And so may we call upon the Lord for what we need in 2023. We'll face different things. We may even, somebody in here might even face great prosperity. Don't let that trick you into thinking, I don't need to call on the Lord. No, you need to call on the Lord. And I hope that's what everybody does. I'm not saying we're all going to crash and burn by the end of 2023. I'm saying we think of it negatively. If things go downhill, I better call on the Lord. No, if things go uphill, we better call on the Lord and ask Him to help us. Dear Lord, thank You for Your goodness to us.